The majority of source material from today's episode comes from the book The Family Romanov by Candace Fleming.
Honestly, you know what? The Skype ringtone slaps.
It's a fucking bop, dude.
I was there being like, doom, doom, doom.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hey guys.
Guys, we just did something so fun that it's not gonna get to know about for like 3 or 4 weeks now.
Well, week from when you hear this.
I'm so bad with time.
We're not gonna yeah.
I think I was gonna say what happened, but not who it happened with.
No. We had a very special episode that will be airing a week from when you hear this. It was super fun.
It was probably the most fun episode we've ever had.
It's a long one, though. We have it with a few different things thrown in there, but...
It was about an hour and 25 minutes, but that was also when my call dropped in the middle, so there's, like...
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to... Yeah. We don't have to tell them how long it is. They can find out. Yeah. Carly, you said you were having a bad day, but now is it better?
Oh, no, it's not actually bad. I was just bummed about my plant that I killed.
Mm.
But you live and you learn.
Mm. Honestly, I slept in, so we were drinking yesterday, obviously. Carly called me about the episode, I was at a pub, and I was like, Carly, wait, hold on, and I put on speaker, and there was a guy playing acoustic guitar, because it's Ireland, and that's what happens in every pub. And then I was like, can you tell I'm in Ireland? I feel like he was playing Galway Girl at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I'm not positive.
God, what was I going to say?
Oh, I was going to say what I did today, though.
Oh, go, yeah.
Yeah, so I slept in, and then I left my house to get McDonald's, and then I ate so much McDonald's I had to take a nap, and then I left my house to buy cereal, which I ate for dinner. So I've had a very nutritious day and a very active day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I... slept the fuck in today, dude.
Nice.
Yeah. I guess I always do that on the weekends, but...
Well deserved, I would say.
Thank you. Not really, but...
Do you want to tell your story? Or do you have anything else you want to say first?
I'm so fucking excited for this.
I know what this is, and I'm really excited.
I did tell Megan. So, this is the first thing, like, the first weird... thing that I remember getting into and like doing research in. I remember 7th grade, like being in the school library, checking out library books and researching articles.
You mean
and
like pictures. Research for fun?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so this is like the OG history mystery for me. And it's not a mystery, but
it is kind of, well, not really.
Well, there actually is some stuff that, you know, that we'll get into. At the end, but should we get started?
You're really excited, and I also know it's long, so why don't you go for it?
Yeah, by the way, this is going to be a multi-parter.
This is our first multi-parter.
Yeah, I mean, just because to really understand it, you kind of need a lot of the historical context.
But I will say, you're going to get this episode, and then you're going to get the super special episode, and then you're going to get part 2.
Right.
Haha, you have to wait.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, let's just jump right in. This is the story of the Romanovs.
Yes!
And the fall of the Russian Empire.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, man, it's so good. Okay. So, to quote The Office, we could start at the beginning, but I think we should just go back further.
Nice.
So we're going to start in March 1881. Russian Tsar Alexander II was riding in a carriage through the streets of St. Petersburg when a lone man stepped out of the crowd. I just want to say, my notes say, when a long man stepped out of the crows. So a lone assailant steps out of the crowd and hurls a bomb at the country's leader.
Mm.
Thankfully, the bomb missed the Tsar, but concerned about the officials and his parade, he exited the carriage to make sure they were all right. That was when the second bomb hit. It opened his abdomen and ripped off one of his legs.
Damn, we're really going for it. Like, we're jumping right in.
Oh, yeah, man. His last wish was to be taken to his palace to die. One of his many vows.
That's my last wish, too.
I mean, not a bad way to go. His son, soon to be Tsar Alexander III, blamed radical peasants for the death of his father, and he would rule them with an iron fist to remind them of his hatred and fury.
Sorry, that's not funny, but I just like the phrase radical peasants.
We're gonna talk about why these peasants were so pissed.
Sorry, you can edit that out.
Stop.
I didn't mean to. Carly, I'm gonna hold to say I really liked last episode, the rabies one, how many noises you made along the lines of and like, yeah. Like I really want you to do a super
and with
cut.
The draugrs.
Can you please do a super cut of all the weird noises that you made?
Yeah. I've had people do that of me before.
You deserve it.
Some people at Interlochen made a compilation of my weird noises and faces and, yeah, made it into a video, and it's, oh my god, it's not cute.
It is cute.
Great.
Okay, so Romanovs. Oh, Carly, we have the giggles now.
Yeah. So the Romanovs were in power for, in total, about 300 years in Imperial Russia. It was a deeply flawed political system, with the Tsar maintaining complete and total power over everything and everyone. The only rules he had to follow were the rules of the Russian Orthodox Church and the laws of succession, meaning a male heir would always take the crown. The Russian Tsar had 13 ministers to carry out his wishes and offer counsel, but it was up to the Tsar whether or not he wanted to listen. And any of them could be fired at any time for any reason, which makes their role seem even more arbitrary, as the Tsar could also appoint whoever he wanted. Mm-hmm. Russia's landscape was so vast that further officials were required to keep order outside of St. Petersburg, the political epicenter of Russia. An outside governor would minister additional provinces outside the area due to the sheer size of the country.
Is it, like, roughly the same size it is now? Because I know it's huge.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Probably
roughly, yeah.
I might look up a map.
Okay, and we can post that in the show notes.
What, 1890-ish?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So in these areas, you know, outside in the countryside, farther away from St. Petersburg, they had ministers to deal with taxes, town maintenance, and to generally maintain order. So for this story, we have a couple characters to introduce.
Like, characters first, as well, aren't they?
Oh, man. The first is, the first is the son of Alexander III, the guy who just became Tsar and who really doesn't like the peasants. So his son is named Nicholas II, and he will be the last Tsar. Yes. He's a kindly young man who never wanted to be Tsar. He was not ever good at it once he got the job, but he was also never looking forward to it.
Breaking news. Russia in 1880 was still really fucking big. Glad we cleared that up.
Okay, good. Thank you. He's nothing like his father, and he's, you know, he's watching his dad rule when he's growing up, and he's like, oh! So once when an advisor threatened to quit on Alexander III, Nicholas's father, the Tsar bellowed, shut up. When I choose to kick you out, you will hear of it in no uncertain terms. Uh-huh. Alexander III constantly put his son down and emasculated him, calling him girly and weak. Nicholas was never prepped to rule the country thanks to his father, who never ensured his son was trained in public speaking or tutored in policy or anything.
Solid plan.
And the thing I want to say, and I'll probably say this several times, you know, Nicholas II, is he a terrible ruler? Yeah. Is he a bad person? I don't think so at all. And when I say that, I don't mean to offend anyone who's...
Any descendants of the Tsars?
No, anyone who has ancestors who suffered under his regime. We're gonna get into the choices he makes, and, you know, he fucks up a lot, but God...
You're arguing that he was incompetent, not malicious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And the guy... At the end of the day, don't
laugh. Sorry.
You know, and I don't want to spoil anything, but we'll chat, we'll revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
Put a pin in it.
It's crazy that you've been to Russia.
I know. Sometimes I forget that I've been to Russia.
That's so weird. Not weird to go to Russia, just, like, that you have been there. I don't know why that's so weird to me.
I was like 13, I think, with my friend. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
I think you were younger than that. You were like maybe 11. I don't know.
Oh. I could be. Yeah, I mean, the architecture was insane. And like those churches, man. Book. So then we have Empress Alexandra of Germany. She was a very religious, devout Lutheran. She was once a sunshiny girl, even being given the nickname Sunny. But when she was 6 years old, she became very cold and withdrawn after the death of her mother.
Oh, Disney princess.
I know, and she stayed that way, man, forever after that. She was primarily raised and groomed by her grandmother, none other than Queen Victoria.
I know everyone was related in the time. I'm just trying to...
Right. Well, okay, the network of royals in Europe and beyond was very tight-knit, so there was a lot of...
Too tight-knit.
Right, I mean, there's a lot of intermarriages between royal families.
We're all cousins.
That's going to be extremely important later.
I know why.
When we get to Alexei.
Yeah.
So Alexandra met Nikki when they were both children. They're also second cousins.
Oh, no.
She was about 13 and he was 17. So they met as kids when her family visited Russia for a wedding. And they instantly became friends and took a liking to each other. Mm-hmm. 5 years later, in 1894, Nikki's family visited Germany for another wedding, and this time they reconnected, rekindled their relationship, and they got engaged.
Okay.
What's interesting in this union is that it's a good match. So this woman was groomed by none other than Queen Victoria herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's a German princess, and yes, the country she hails from won't exactly indicate that she's a good match for Nicholas in the future, but... She's well-bred and well-groomed, and she's also elite and has royal blood.
Sorry, do Germany and Russia have beef, or is this, like, a point?
I mean, they will okay. in, like, World War I.
Oh, yeah, but we're not there yet.
No.
So as of this point, like, it's a fine match. It's acceptable.
Yeah.
Cool.
But not only that, they actually really loved each other.
Yay.
Yeah. Also, I am gonna call him Nikki sometimes.
Because it humanizes him?
I don't know. I like it.
This is really dumb, but I have my hair behind my shoulders, and I'm, like, staring at myself on the Skype thing, like, I could get a bob again. I cannot get a bob again.
Are you good?
I don't look good with a bob. Anyway, sorry. Continue. Sorry.
So...
We've been recording for, like, 2 hours at this point. It's fun, though. Go.
Stop yelling. Sorry. So, most people didn't like Alexandra... as I said, she's very close off.
Also, she's a woman, so we're gonna pick apart all of her behavior to talk shit about her.
Tea. Even other Russian royals thought she was pretentious and boring and tightly wound. I know.
I feel like Russians aren't well known for being, like, peppy and, like, fun.
Right. Right.
No, don't at me. Sorry, Russians.
No. Oh, God.
Just stereotypically, if you're asking me to picture a Russian in the 1800s, I'm going to picture a very serious person.
Yeah. Also, she's still an outsider, though.
True.
I mean, she was really beautiful, so I'm sure people were probably, like, really jealous. And the Tsar is, like, he's the richest ruler in the world at that point. So I'm guessing they're... It's probably easy to see that there would be some jealousy for whoever gets to marry him.
Yeah.
So when she arrived in Russia for her own wedding in 1894, Alexander III, Nicholas's father, died from kidney disease, and suddenly she and Nikki were to become Tsar and Tsarina of Russia way sooner rather than later. So she was known as the funeral bride and was generally thought of as bad luck. This coincidence would mark the first apparent bad omen of Nikki and Alexander's union and of Nicholas's reign.
I love this.
Again, Nikki and Nicholas are the same person.
Yeah.
I just have it switched up in my notes. I don't know why.
We got you.
Great, thank you. So they get married, but they can't be coronated yet because there's a period of mourning and that's not cute. So shortly after the wedding, Alexander convinces Nicholas to move from the Winter Palace, which is traditionally where they live for most of the part, but they also have all of these seasonal palaces that they, you know, they can really go wherever they want.
They have a lot of palaces.
Oh, yeah. So they leave the Winter Palace, and they move to Imperial Park, aka the Tsar's Village, which has two castles. So it's this two castle estate in the countryside, and they also had a pet elephant there who was a gift from the king of Siam, or modern day Thailand. Okay. So Alexandra, being the more modest, than most royals, picked the smaller of the two palaces mm-hmm. for them to reside in. It still had 100 rooms.
Jesus.
So this wasn't the best move for the soon-to-be czar. He essentially just retreated to the countryside while the minister stayed in St. Petersburg. He took visits and letters from his officials to settle disputes from the comfort of his new home.
Okay.
I think this is in my notes, but I don't know where, and I actually want to say it up top just for some context. Nicholas was worth $45 billion in today's money.
Mm-hmm.
That's how fucking rich these people are.
How much would, like... Sorry, this is really putting you on the spot. Do you know how much the Queen of England is worth?
Current Queen of England?
Yeah. Liz. It always gets me when you do typing noises.
Money. Oh
more?
God. Oh, no. 530 million.
And he's worth 45 billion?
Yeah. Sorry, for a second I thought I was thinking it was 530 billion.
Oh my
which
god.
I don't think is possible.
That's so much. Okay. Wow, yeah.
It's so fucking
so these people
much,
are
dude.
Really rich.
You cannot imagine how fucking loaded these people are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, the couple was expecting their first child in 1895, and they, of course, were both hoping for a boy. The laws of succession were extremely intense in absolute monarchies, and we see this all the time, you know, where there's a ton of pressure on the queen or empress to produce a male heir. Mm. But on November 16th, 1895, Grand Duchess Olga Nikolaevna, that's Italian, Olga Nikolaevna was born, and... Nikki and Alex's family were ultimately disappointed it was a girl. But at the time, to them, to Nikki and Alex, it wasn't the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, you
Nikki
can have more kids.
Thrilled. I mean, Nikki was thrilled. He had his first child. She's this beautiful, healthy baby girl. And plus, Alexander was only 23 years old at the time. I know. I can't imagine. I'm almost 23, and she has her first baby now, and that's insane.
Wow.
But they had the whole rest of their young lives to produce a boy. Next time, they'd get it right for sure. No big deal.
Oh, no.
Not what we wanted, but, you know. Spoiler alert, then they have, like, 3 more girls in a row, but we'll get there. So, 6 months after Olga was born, the period of mourning was over for the previous czar, Nicholas's father.
Oh, my God, that's a long period of mourning.
Yeah. So, Nikki and Alex were to be crowned czar and czarina. You cannot imagine the cost of this coronation. They spared no expense. It was organized and designed to perfection, filled with jewels to display the wealth and prestige of the royal family. They both wore bedazzled crowns and stunning jewelry and capes. On the inside of the venue, everything appeared glistening and perfect because it was designed, you know, to look.
So they just made perfect. This building for the coronation, basically.
No, I think they probably had it in a church, but like...
Mm. They kitted it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. However, during the ceremony, in a nearby field, about 800,000 peasants had gathered for feasts traditionally thrown for them at these sort of royal events.
Oh, no.
In this field, disaster would strike. It was a sham of an event in a soggy field, poorly organized, and the extent of the people who might show up to the event was completely overlooked. Thin wooden boards were placed over uneven terrain and trenches, but under the weight of hundreds of thousands of peasants stampeding for gifts, food, and drink, the boards gave way, and several people began to fall beneath.
They're just falling into pits in this field.
Yeah.
Wow.
At least 1,400 ended up trampled and suffocated, possibly as many as 3,000.
Oh my god!
But some of the officials couldn't be bothered with the victims at the festivals. According to them, it wasn't a tragedy and was only a big deal if they reacted to it. But Nicholas, on the other hand, was devastated, and he wanted to cancel the royal festivities. There was to be a ball that night to honor the French ambassador. He wanted to cancel it immediately. But his uncle convinced him that would be too scandalous, you know, if we cancel on the French ambassador.
Yeah.
So Nicholas goes against his instinct and judgment, and he agreed, and the ball was still held.
That's very, like, it's really cute that he cares that his peasants died, but also, like, if you're worth $45 billion, there shouldn't be peasants. Like, share the wealth, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're gonna get into
that. I know, like, it's...
Like, we'll right fucking now.
Yeah,
we're gonna, good. We're gonna get there. One reporter noted that the rich, quote, danced on top of corpses that night.
Good line.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about these peasants. At this time, 4/5 of people in Russia were peasants. And in peasants, in this case, doesn't, you know, refer to a middle class. These people that made up the majority of the empire lived in poverty. Most had never seen a doctor or slept on a real bed. Half of children born died suddenly thereafter, and life was fraught with difficulty. I kind of get the image in my head of the peasants from Les Mis, you know, and, like, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
But yeah. They're Russian instead of French. But, like, same, really.
Yes. Well, Russia had a huge problem with distribution of wealth. We see that a lot today. And that's especially notable when the Tsar is as rich as he is, again, $45 billion in today's money. So, like, the 5 rich people who live in Russia at the time have this super idealized and removed view of the peasants. They're like, oh, they're these quaint, beautiful people with long golden braids and flower pattern dresses.
Ah, yes, like a plump milkmaid.
Yes, exactly. Who farm, like, these wonderful little crops and run out to the fields and spin around in lavender-covered meadows, Sound of Music style.
Was it Marie Antoinette who had a peasant cottage built?
Oh, I don't know.
There's some rich woman, like queen or something, who thought peasantry was cute. So she literally had, like,
right,
a country house,
like,
built
quaint.
Where she would go and, like, play like she was a farm lady and milk cows and stuff.
Exactly.
Maybe I'm making this up, but I think it existed.
I mean, that's what they thought.
Yeah.
But in reality, they live in huts made out of mud and can't yield enough crops to keep their families alive, let alone sustain a business living off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next days, Alexandra and Nicholas visited hospitals and paid for funerals, but the damage was done. They had already shown such disregard for the lives of their people, dancing over their corpses in a glittering ballroom, as I said earlier. After they saw the ball was still held, the peasants could not forgive the Tsar, and he was officially on the shit list.
Oh, this is so early as well. This is literally day one.
I mean, he digs his own grave, and he continues to, and he has some bad, you know, advice. And in my opinion, manipulation of people were like, you know, well, I know what your father would do, but, you know, if you're not strong enough.
Are we going to get into that one guy? Is that someone who does some manipulating?
Yeah, I mean, that was like his uncle who told him, you know, not to fuck around with worrying about the peasants.
Oh.
He's like, don't, you know, kind of like, don't stoop to that level.
I'm talking about the famous guy.
Oh.
Is he involved in this story, really?
Rasputin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to get to him today, but we'll get to him.
Okay. Sorry, that probably just made a lot of noise on the recording.
That's okay. No, he's not in this part, but we, of course, will get to Rasputin.
Nice.
He's very important. So, again, he's on the shit list. It's going to take him a lot to get off of it, and as we'll see as the story progresses, he takes a wrong turn everywhere he possibly can. This event was taken as the second bad omen of Nicholas's and Alex's union and of Nicholas's reign.
Mm-hmm.
Does my voice sound really annoying right now?
No.
Okay, I feel like it does.
No. Ugh,
my throat hurts.
I am, like, having a little tickle as well.
Even so, the pair would still try for a son. In 1897, Alexandra gave birth to a second child. Her pregnancy was fraught with illness so severe that she had to be pushed around in a wheelchair for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought this level of trouble meant a boy for sure. But on June 10th, 1897, Grand Duchess Tatiana was born, and the disappointment of the royal family grew. This was when Alexandra started to grow anxious. Ironically, the only person who wasn't disappointed by the lack of a male heir was the Tsar himself, the man who had everything to lose, who had a legacy and a royal family line to maintain.
He
loves his fucking kids. He wrote in his diary that night how blessed he felt to have another beautiful, healthy daughter and how excited he was. But his high spirits wouldn't last.
Well, I feel like I'm not supposed to like him, but that's wholesome.
He obviously, again, he's not a good ruler.
I just take issue with that level of wealth, and I feel like...
Of course. But this man still loves his family.
Yeah.
And, you know, when shit hits the fan, you know, at the end, really, like, he's like, fuck it. Like, I just want to take care of my family. Mm. I will leave it all behind.
Mm. Yeah, everyone has good and bad qualities, so I can cheer on this guy for his wholesome qualities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit ruler. Mm. Of course. Totally incompetent, but a good man in a lot of ways, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, on June 26, 1899, after an even more miserable pregnancy, with more time in a wheelchair and on bed rest, Alexandra gave birth again, this time to Grand Duchess Marie Nikolaevna.
I knew it was a girl. This is really good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Where are you stopping? Oh, I don't want to know, but I do want to know. Ah, don't tell me. No.
Okay. For Alexandra, producing a male heir is her one job.
Mm.
Obviously, I don't agree with that, but you're in a monarchy,
yeah. You know. It's upsetting.
As empress of a monarchy, the one thing she has to produce is a son. It's so, so important. Its importance cannot be overstated. We see this all the time in English history as well. My personal favorite being the story of Anne Boleyn and her race to have a son. So Alexandra felt like a failure in the eyes of God, and there's a plane. Okay. So Alexandra felt like a failure in the eyes of God, and in prayer begged for a male child. So one day, Nikki's cousins, Militsa and Anastasia, come for a visit shortly after Marie's birth. Known as the Dark Sisters, the girls were well known in their interest in the occult. They held seances in their palaces, they were into ghosts and astrology and all that. So upon their visit, Alexandra revealed to them that she feared she would never give Nikki a son. Mm-hmm. But the Dark Sisters told her that they could help. They knew a French soul doctor who can not only predict the gender of an unborn child, but even change the gender from a girl to a boy.
Hmm.
I just realized I didn't cite my source.
Cite it now.
I'll add it in at the beginning.
It's okay, you can cite it now and then we'll put it in the notes, and it really is okay. You're reading a book, right?
But the only thing is, this is essentially a book report on that book.
Okay.
So yeah, I used The Last Tsar's Netflix docuseries, which is phenomenal. I loved it. But most of the factual information comes from Family Romanov, Murder, Rebellion, and the Fall of Imperial Russia. Damn,
she really spoiled it right in the title.
I mean, Candace Fleming.
Oh, I'm glad it's a woman. Yeah. I assumed it was a woman, and I'm glad
I mean, she doesn't spoil it in the... I mean, we all know, even if you don't know the story... You know this doesn't end well.
Also, we know
that Russia's not an empire anymore.
Yeah. I'm just being an idiot.
Okay, yeah. So they say, hey, we know this doctor, finger quotes, who can change the gender of your unborn baby.
Yeah.
Now, this idea was actually accepted in the Russian Orthodox Church because these people were seen as saints. So people believed wholeheartedly that ordinary people could be blessed by God with extraordinary gifts to carry out God's will.
Mm.
Alexandra and Nikki met with Dr. Philippe in 1901 when Alexandra was pregnant with her fourth, spoiler alert, it's a girl. He conducted a spiritual examination. You know who it is! So he conducts a spiritual examination by staring into her eyes for a long time and says, yep, it's a boy, as long as you take this astral medicine I'm going to give you. So Alexandra says, absolutely, hell yes. She prays nonstop, and she drinks one herbal concoction after another, going so far as to bathe in the moonlight as part of her astral therapy.
Oh my god, I want to go to astral therapy.
Oh, hell yeah. They were so excited they were going to finally have a son, and believe it or not, they were completely confident. Except They were wrong. Mm. Grand Duchess Anastasia was born on June 18th, 1901.
Man, did that doctor get executed or what?
No, what? They keep him around for a while.
What? I would think that they would kill him.
No, because Alexandra just blames herself. She's just like,
honey.
She's just like, I'm just a failure in the eyes of God.
That's so fucked up.
And she's just like, I have to pray harder.
I mean, I don't mean to say better. It is fucked up that she believes that. It, of course, would also be fucked up if they executed
him. But it's what's expected of her.
Yeah.
To the highest amount of pressure.
I just want to make it clear that I don't think they should execute him. I just thought that they would execute him.
Right. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, side note, this obviously is, we know her as the Grand Duchess Anastasia. She's probably the most famous child in part because of the film.
I was thinking, like, why is she the famous
Anastasia?
One?
Yeah. If you haven't seen that movie, it's, like, an animated movie from the 90s. It's probably one of my favorite movies. It's so good. It's not historically accurate, really, at all, but it's not trying to be. Like, it's not trying to trick you. It's like, a fantastical, yeah, like, paranormal, magical adaptation of the story.
It's probably the only...
It's great.
...animated, non-Disney movie to be, like, on par with Disney, I would say.
Right.
Like, I'd say it surpasses most of Disney.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. I love it.
I kind of want to watch it tonight.
I saw the musical. I cried.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I had the thought just now, we should do an episode where we each, like, a two-parter, where we... Sorry, one episode where we both tell a story.
Right.
About a historical thing that has been turned into a musical. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Grand Duchess Anastasia is born, and everybody was pissed.
Ugh.
Even the peasants were furious with a German woman who wasn't able to produce a male heir, spitting on the pavement and cursing her name. Which I'm like, you hate them anyway, why do you care?
Also, like... I'm sure Russian women have daughters, too.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, while Nicky was disappointed, he believed that everything happened for a reason, and as long as he trusted in God's will, everything would be fine. So he writes to his family stating that he's glad to have another healthy daughter. Alexandra, at this point, though, you know, I'm sure she believes she's totally cursed.
Is Nicky not with them?
Yeah, he's with them, I think.
He said he writes to his family.
Oh, like his grandma.
Oh, right, okay.
Extended family. So the pair actually continues to meet with Dr. Philippe, and eventually Alexander grew somewhat fanatic.
Mm.
She did whatever he told her to do, worshipped who he told her to worship, opened her home's doors to seedy characters claiming to be touched by God.
Mm.
But on August 12th,
1904...
Alexandra gives birth to...
Alexei?
Yes.
Alexei?
Oh, no. Yes.
Okay, good.
A boy, Alexei, the future Tsar of Russia. But not. It was great. Finally. This is a huge deal. They have four daughters in a row. But only a few weeks after his birth, his parents would notice that he was not the normal healthy boy they had hoped and prayed for years. One day, like 6 weeks after he was born, he starts bleeding from his navel. And to their concern, the bleeding doesn't stop.
Why?
And it didn't even have a discernible cause. I'm gonna tell you. Oh, yeah. So for days, Alexei keeps bleeding until, you know, it continues on and off for 2 days, and then it finally stops. The doctors recognize it as hemophilia.
Yeah, I did know that. I didn't realize it happened from the navel, initially, I mean. Mm-hmm. Does it have to do with the umbilical cord?
Maybe.
Like, as in it didn't clot or whatever?
Yeah, so I'm gonna... So, hemophilia is a rare genetic disorder that prevents the blood from clotting normally, causing minor cuts and scrapes to bleed for days on end. Any bump or bruise could mean internal bleeding.
Fuck.
I mean, it could be fatal. The disease was and still is incurable, and back then, people with hemophilia didn't live very long lives.
Mm.
It was the worst kind of irony. The royal couple had four healthy daughters. Olga was 10 pounds at birth.
Yes, that Olga!
Yes, queen. I mean, they're totally healthy. They're just not the right gender.
Mm.
I say that not believing that.
Yeah, of course, but like, for
again,
the time.
It's the bullshit of the time.
So... this is due to, most likely due to inbreeding, right? In royal families. Sorry, I don't mean to get ahead of you.
No, it's okay. So years after constant stress, constant miserable pregnancies, constant anxiety and worrying, they finally have a boy, and he has a life-threatening, incurable genetic condition given to males, but transmitted by females.
I was about to ask. Imagine, so right, can only men have it?
I think either only men can have it, or it mostly affects men.
That's literally what I was about to ask. How interesting.
Yeah, but it's transmitted by females, so you can imagine the guilt that Alexandra feels.
And they know at the time that it's transmitted by females. I don't like the word females, by women, whatever.
Yeah. It was terribly unlucky, but hemophilia actually ran rampant within royal families, which makes sense because, as I said earlier, and as you start to ask about, there's a lot of intermarrying between the royal families of different countries.
Was one of Victoria's kids a hemophiliac as well? sorry.
I don't know if her kid, but hold on. I don't know if Queen Victoria's child was, but hold on to that thought.
Toy?
So hemophilia being a genetic disease, it makes sense that if one royal person has it, plenty of other royal people do too.
Yeah.
In fact, Alexander's own brother had died of it as a child.
Mm.
So that's Victoria's grandson.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So to avoid panic and to avoid appearing weak or vulnerable in any way, they kept Alexei's condition a secret.
Mm-hmm.
But he was constantly ill, you know. Internal injuries caused him complete agony all the time.
Oh my God.
One minor bumper scrape could render him bedridden. So protecting him became Nikki and Alex's whole lives.
Did they just, like, strap pillows to him?
No, Nikki!
Like, imagine him, like, going around.
He just can't do anything. I mean, he can't go out and play. He can't ride a bike. I mean, you know.
Do they have
so
bikes?
Sad. He can't. They just have to, like, try and keep him alive.
Yeah.
Long enough for him to, like, become czar.
Mm.
So while they fretted over their son, unrest was brewing in the villages of Russia. Remember I said earlier, after the ball, when these royals danced on the corpses?
Mm-hmm.
The common people's view of the royal family was set in stone. Alexander and Nicholas had their hands full ensuring that Alexei would live long enough to become czar. But maybe their worries were all for nothing. That's where we're gonna leave off for this part.
Oh my God.
Shit is going down.
We've just basically introduced the characters, and now I care about them all.
I know.
Oh my God.
This wasn't as long as I thought it would be. We're at 40 minutes.
Yeah.
We can chat about it, though, to add some time.
You don't need to add time.
Just feel that. I thought it was going to be a little longer, but I just thought, you know, I thought this was a good place to leave off because finally have a son. It's not going well.
Unrest
is
brewing.
And people are starting to get ton of unrest brewing and, you know, everywhere. So we're going to try and fit the rest into a second part. We might have to do a third. Either way, we'll let you guys know on the next episode. Next week, whatever we record, we'll know by then, you know, what we'll have to do. So, yeah, tune in next week to see the absolute political chaos Russia finds itself in, civil unrest like you cannot believe, and how Nicholas digs himself and his family into an early grave. I'm Carly Sherman, and this has been NPR.
Nice. I have a question.
Mic drop. Go.
You might not have an answer, or it might be a bit of a spoiler, but do you think there's a reason why Anastasia is, like, the famous one? Is it just because we like younger siblings in media?
It's because they thought maybe that she had escaped.
They thought specifically her. Wasn't it two of them that they thought maybe escaped?
Yeah, they find a female and a male body of two, like, children.
Sorry,
so
is
they
this
think
a spoiler?
It could be her and Alexei. No, it's not a spoiler. I'm going to tell you what happens.
I remember reading a book about them in fifth grade. I think I know.
Because there was also a woman who came forward in the 1900s who said, "I'm Anastasia."
Like the Disney
movie. And
it
wasn't her.
Grandmama!
It's me, Anastasia.
Yeah. Oh, I want to watch that movie now.
It's so good. After I saw the musical over, like, spring break, the next day I watched the movie.
I've had the song stuck in my head. The whole...
How you heard
that exact song, yes.
In St. Petersburg.
I like how there's a lot of songs in that movie.
What they're saying on the street.
But, like, that's the one... There's a lot of songs in that movie.
Every song in that movie is so good.
Yeah, but that I had one stuck in my head and that you knew it was that one.
Yeah, because it's a fucking... It's, like, the first song of the film. It's when all the excitement is brewing, and it gets everything set up, and we introduce, you know, Dimitri and what's-his-butt.
Vlad?
Mm-hmm.
I like the part... Ooh, the part where she's on the boat is so scary.
Oh, yeah.
And then I like the part where they're trying to get her to remember about her life, and so then they're, like, riding on the carriage.
And then she'll say something, and they go, I don't believe we told her that.
Mm.
Yeah. There's a song they added in the musical called In My Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful. I use it as an audition song sometimes.
Nice.
So good. So gorgeous.
We reversed the order this time, because we recorded my episode first.
Yes.
But so, do you want to say what you're looking forward to?
I'm excited to look into, like, what I want to do for my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, like haunted houses or ghost tours and stuff.
Yay.
So, I'm pumped.
Your birthday is not that soon, but also very soon in the sense that time goes so fast.
Well, and if it's going to be a thing that we have to book tickets for.
True.
Ghost tours tend to be pretty popular, especially if it's going to be H.H. Holmes. Like, that might be sold out already.
Mm.
So, we'll see.
I hope you get it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I miss you a lot.
I miss you, too. It was fun when you called me last night.
I'm sorry. Honestly, I didn't know you were at a pub.
I love doing this podcast so much. And I, like, I think I'm such a perfectionist. And I obviously want to have, like, the number one podcast and, like, go on tour and make money doing it whenever. But, like, it surprises me how much I don't care how many people listen. Like, I care how many people listen and I want the podcast to do well. But also I'm just having such a good time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, like, we actually talk on the phone, which we, I feel like if we weren't doing the podcast, we wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. But also, I fucking love learning. Learning is my favorite thing, and we're learning so much doing this.
I know, it's so...
And I like it.
Me too. Yeah. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. You want to know what I'm looking forward to?
Yeah.
This will be long past by the time this episode airs, but this week I'm only working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then my friends Kaya and Abby are coming. Abby is from Chicago, or right now she lives in New York, and Kaya lives in London, but she's from Canada,
cool.
And they're going to come to Dublin and see me. And
yay!
Then I'll work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. So then I have a day off in the middle of the week to hang out with them, which is so fun.
Yeah, that's so exciting.
Yeah, and we're going to go. That'll okay, so there's like the big famous thing that everyone does in Ireland. Like probably the top tourist thing in Dublin is the mm-hmm. Guinness Storehouse, which is like tells you how Guinness is made. And it's really good. But then I guess, which I didn't know about before, but attached to the Guinness Brewery is like a mini bar, like a tap room where they have like
mm-hmm.
limited edition test beers of like different weird flavors and stuff. So we're gonna go there, and I fucking love, you get like what's called a flight. Do you know what a flight is?
Yeah.
Anyone who, I mean, I assume everyone knows this, but a flight is like multiple tiny beers. And I love a flight because I'm indecisive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited for that and to see my friends.
Nice. Yay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Woo. I was thinking, I don't remember what episode is airing next. It's
Rebecca Corian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I got some images together for that.
Oh, thank you. And then it will be Radium Girls.
Yeah.
And then this Romanos one. Part one. And then...
Special surprise.
Secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm sorry that was... I chalked that up to be like it was going to be really long.
You always think it is going to be longer than it is, but also, like, it's okay.
It's about a good average, length. And it was a good stopping point.
Yeah.
Like, that was part one of the book.
There's no pressure to make it long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm proud of my research.
I'm proud of it, and I'm glad that you didn't, because this was the one you were going to do last week and weren't ready, and I'm glad you waited, because it's good.
If you guys haven't seen The Last Tsars, it's a Netflix docuseries again. I highly recommend.
Or if you haven't seen
the
movie.
It's more dramatized, so I don't know how factual it is, but there is some documentary elements, like they do interview historians.
Mm.
So, I mean, I would look into it. It's beautifully done. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Also watch the movie.
Absolutely watch the movie. It's Anastasia's dead.
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 And I kick her, sir.
Oh, also, okay. this fact comes from Last Podcast on the Left. I don't mean to steal shit from them at all, but they did a series on Rasputin. And Rasputin in the movie is, he is presented as this undead villain. So do you remember that green vial he carries around that has all of his magic powers? So apparently the thing about Rasputin is, in real life, is that he had, like a fucking, like, 9-inch dick or something.
What?
So, yeah, so apparently, like, the theory is that the vial, and he was, like, super, he talked about his dick all the time.
Wasn't he a priest?
Yeah, man. He is an unorthodox-ass priest, let me tell you.
You really kept the best fact till the end.
Yeah. Actually, people thought that his dick was preserved in a jar.
What?
And it turned out to be a horse dick. So apparently he has this huge, massive dick that he talks about all the time.
I'm so mad that this is a part of this episode, because that would make such a good Weird History Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God. I guess the vial in the movie, people think, is supposed to represent his dick, because it holds all of his power. And then it gets shattered in
the really
end.
Don't know what to do with that information.
I don't know, man.
Guys.
Look up the horse dick.
I don't want to. Was it a Russian queen that fucked a horse? Or rather, a horse fucked her? I'm pretty sure this woman's name was Alexandra.
Well, Alexandra maybe fucked Rasputin.
No, there was definitely a woman who got fucked by a horse.
I think I know what you're talking about, because she built a contraption to fuck the horse.
Oh. But I'm sorry, I can't... this can't wait. I need to Google it. Now I'm gonna get weird, like, websites.
Look up the horse dick.
Oh, look up the horse dick. That's a penis in a jar.
Yeah, man.
I don't like it. I'm really uncomfortable.
It's not his. Apparently, it's a horse.
That makes me more uncomfortable.
Well... now you know.
I saw a real penis on stage last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, it was Catherine the Great, and apparently it wasn't true.
Okay.
So there was a legend that she died while having sex with a horse, but she didn't. That was just her enemies trying to tarnish her reputation.
Oh, that's awful!
Yeah. So I saw a play last night that had nudity in it. And it was pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah. It was called Skin Tight. It was at the New Theater.
When you did Romeo and Juliet at school, there was a butt.
When you did?
When you did.
When I did Romeo and... oh, yeah, that wasn't... yeah. There's yeah, but no, Carly, I'm talking, like, full nudity, as in, like, dick out.
Yeah.
And, like, vag out.
Oh, wow.
Vulva out, technically.
Alright.
Yeah. It's a good play.
Okay.
Yeah. I would like people to send me, like, if it's a historical weird fact, I guess, but that's not long enough to be an episode, you can email it to us, and I'll credit you when I tweet it on a Weird History Wednesday, or just at us on a Weird History Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So think, like, a fact or a short story that fits in the length of a tweet, rather than the length of an episode.
I love that you're doing that, by the way.
I like Weird History Wednesdays. I don't really know what to do with the Twitter yet. If you, like, care about Twitter and want to follow us at Sisterly Podcast, but then are like, your Twitter is really shitty, send us ideas on how to make it better, because I truthfully have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm better at Instagram.
But you're doing great, though.
Thanks. Anything else, Carly?
No, I'm gonna go eat lunch.
I'm gonna go eat more cereal.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. I hope you like this week. I know you will, and I know you'll like next week.
Yeah. And tune in 2 weeks to find out how the Russian Empire gets fucked.
Woo! Okay. Have a good week. Bye, guys.
Hey, guys. Carly here, and we wanted to thank you for listening to Sisterly History Mysteries. We hope you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed talking about it and sharing it with you. If you don't mind, we'd really appreciate it if you'd rate, review, and subscribe, as it makes our day, but it also really helps us out. You can email us at sisterlyhistorymysteries@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @sisterlypodcast.